Good morning. It is Sunday, June 23rd, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
KUAF presents a live broadcast of Mozart in the Museum from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, tomorrow beginning at 8 p.m. This live radio broadcast will feature the Artisphere Festival Orchestra with Corrado Riveras, music director. Artisphearfestival.org for more information. Support for this broadcast comes from Cox Communications and Downtown Bentonville Incorporated.
In just a few minutes on Weekend Ozarks, we check in on the progress of the play Beside Myself. And later on the show, our tech ambassador Tyrell Dennison teaches us about a new currency. And we'll look ahead to summer opera and celebrate the official beginning of summer.
But first, we don't normally report on much of the doom and gloom in the news, but several stories from the past week have dealt with the topics of crime and punishment. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has collected those stories for us in this week's Weekly Review.
The Fayetteville City Council this week considered an ordinance placing restrictions on door-to-door solicitations. Kit Williams, Fayetteville City Attorney, says that while the city has had an ordinance on the books dealing with door-to-door solicitation, the proposed ordinance is an attempt to better regulate the practice.
Well, we have had one ordinance that was done that we passed probably back when I was on the city council in the 90s that says that residents can put up a no soliciting sign, and if they do, then the solicitor can't go to the door. So that's been in place for decades, but a lot of people have not, of course, posted a no soliciting sign. They don't really want to do that. I think, you know, they just feel like maybe it won't look good or something. I don't know. But anyway, they wanted something more. Alderman Tennant wanted to have another kind of identification system or regulation system for people that want to go door to door.
Similar to an ordinance passed last year in Springdale, the proposed ordinance would prevent door to door solicitations at residences where there is a no solicitation decal visible. But Williams says that the ordinance would also introduce other restrictions on the practice.
What this ordinance does do is say that soliciting doesn't start until 10 o'clock in the morning, and then it is supposed to end at 7 o'clock on winter days, winter standard time, and 8 o'clock on daylight savings when it's light later. So it does have some limitations on when solicitors should go there. So they can't go there late at night, they can't go there real early in the morning, that kind of stuff.
The ordinance includes exemptions for religious and some nonprofit groups, though most nonprofits would still be required to get a permit for door-to-door solicitations, though they wouldn't be charged for said permit. The ordinance was left on the second reading after being amended to allow solicitors to go door-to-door until 9 o'clock at night, to leave sample newspapers, and to give a 5-year grace period for good behavior, after which a solicitor wouldn't have to submit to yearly background checks. The ordinance will likely come up again at the next city council meeting in July. The Arkansas Department of Correction is looking at different drugs to use for carrying out death sentences in the state. Spokeswoman Shay Wilson says that the state was planning to use phenobarbital, which is an anti-seizure medication, but the company that makes it didn't want it used for that purpose.
The pharmaceutical company announced that they were not going to supply us with the drugs because they did not want to supply drugs that were used in the execution process. So we will be looking at other options.
Wilson says the department will rewrite its execution protocol. Arkansas hasn't executed an inmate since 2005. On a similar note, Governor Mike Beebe has put execution dates on pause now that 9 death row inmates have challenged Arkansas's new lethal injection law and have urged a judge to declare that the Department of Corrections can't use a 2013 law to put them to death. BB spokesman Matt DeCampbell.
We are not going to set execution dates for some time, you know, because of the legal matters that are still involved. And we now have both the statute, our new death penalty statute, being challenged in court, and we're having to reexamine our drug protocol because of issues with the supplier. So even though we have letters from the AG, we're not going to be setting dates anytime in the immediate future.
Because of legal issues and protocol concerns with acquiring a drug, DeCampbell says setting an execution date right now would not be pragmatic. The state attorney general's office announced Monday that more than $400,000 will be awarded to victims of violent crimes from the month of May. The amount of reparations awarded was slightly above average. Attorney General spokesman Aaron Sadler says the program utilizes court costs, fees, and fines to fund 60% of the awards.
And the program was created to give some help to those who are victims of violent crime in Arkansas for a variety of eligible expenses, and those include things like medical treatment or mental health counseling or any sort of replacement costs for damaged items or lost wages.
In May, areas with the most awardees included Jefferson, Pulaski, and Sebastian counties. Governor Mike Beebe called for a review of the state's parole system after a Little Rock murder suspect was found to have been charged with 10 prior felonies. Beebe says the state must determine if the case of suspect Daryl Dennis points to a broader problem in how the state addresses parole violations. Little Rock Mayor Mark Stodola says he believes the current parole monitoring system is broken.
I think it's clear that we've got a system that is not adequately funded. There's not adequate monitoring. I made my point in the State of the City speech that notwithstanding this homicide that ultimately has resulted in a parole revocation, it's a little bit late for that kid, isn't it? A little bit late. And it's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. That homicide probably never would have occurred if this guy had been put back in the penitentiary like he should have been multiple times before.
Dennis is charged with the murder of Fayetteville teenager Forrest Abrams. Since his release from prison in 2008, Dennis never had a parole revocation hearing. Officials at the Department of Community Corrections have said Dennis was going through an Act 3 mental health evaluation, which prevents the department from revoking someone's parole. And finally, a judge has sentenced a former East Arkansas legislator convicted of election fraud to 3 years of probation, including 9 months of home confinement. Democrat Hudson Hallam pleaded guilty in September to bribing voters and using absentee ballots to commit fraud in the 2011 election for his seat. He resigned days after pleading guilty. Hallam apologized during his sentencing hearing. He says he violated the trust of his constituents and was ready to accept the consequences. Art English, a professor of political science at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, says a case like this leads to distrust in the system, but it's important to put the case in context.
To my knowledge, that was a relatively deviant situation. We don't usually find legislators, attempting to bribe election officials and involve themselves in that kind of situation. But because it has involved a legislator, and because it's such a blatant type of attempt to influence a local election, it's become really big news. And it's as a matter of fact, it probably has helped the passage of the voter ID law.
On top of his probation sentence, Hallam was fined $20,000 and ordered to perform 1,000 hours of community service. His father also received 3 years probation and was fined $10,000. From the Herald and Blanche Calk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.